Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is with us here. It is Thursday, July 10th, just a few seconds after 2:30 UTC as we're recording this. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo, hi. How's it going?
So, Yvonne didn't really have a big list here, so I've got a few things going on, and we'll figure out what to talk about.
Big list, that basically nothing. Just had to, nothing. Basically, I showed up with snake eyes.
Okay,
you know?
So we'll figure out what to talk about. We got here in Washington State, legal recreational pot started yesterday, today, something
Yay!
Like that.
Did you go try it?
I did not. We have the latest from Greenwald, which I found sort of underwhelming, but yeah, whatever. We've got immigration stuff, which we haven't talked about and has been sort of building up over the last few weeks. Israel's doing whatever. We've got the potato salad guy, just to keep with our theme
of
people
I heard
making
about
money.
That. Yeah.
But before all of that, Yvonne says that something just came up with email, specifically POP email versus IMAP email.
Well, here's the deal, right? Okay, you know, look, I migrated to IMAP a long time ago, okay? All right? I will say that the main reason for personal email, I remember that the main reason I did that had to do with my migration to .Mac, okay? .Mac did not support POP, okay? Mm-hmm. So I said, screw it, I'm going to IMAP. Now, I remember that one of the considerations
now,
at the time...
Let me give some background to folks. This is incredibly geeky. These are two protocols for email clients access email on servers. And the primary difference is with POP mail, you download mail off the server and you keep it locally. And normally you then immediately or close to immediately, maybe with a few days delay or something, you remove it from the server. Because this was in the early days of email where
there was almost no server space. There was the
server space. There's very little there. The expectation was you had one computer at home. You downloaded your stuff to your computer at home and you never needed it on the server anymore because the server was just an intermediary on its way to your actual computer. That was replaced in most email implementations a long, long time ago, like over a decade ago. There was a long transition period, but you know, lots of places had turned over by a decade or so ago. There, you know, a few stragglers obviously after that, and there were a few early adopters that were before that. But that's roughly the time frame we're talking about, IMAP, on the other hand, has an entirely different model. Its notion is that primarily the server is the master repository of anything that you care about, that you're interested in.
Well, this goes back, and you know, the funniest thing is that I keep saying that this is the original era computing. The server used to be the server, then they wanted client server, then they wanted the clients, and now all of a sudden we go back to the server. So,
right.
Yes.
So in any case, the notion is if you're looking at, I mean, and of course the most recent wave of these is web-based only. You don't even bring anything to your local machine. But, you know, the notion with IMAP is that the server has the master copy and that it is essentially just showing you a window of what's on the server, and you may have some caching locally, like it'll make a copy locally, but if it's assuming you're connecting from a whole bunch of different machines. So for instance, if on one machine you delete your mail, then you go connect to it from another machine, your mail is going to be gone there too.
Right.
You know, et cetera. And that's the main difference. And I believe what you're going to tell me is that you are doing tech support for a certain person we both know in Atlanta.
Yes.
And she was still using POP. Now, before you get into the details of the problems that caused most recently, let me mention that about 6 to 9 months ago, she mentioned to me in email some problems she was having with, you know, certain mail never showing up on her iPhone. I diagnosed this at the time and said,
you have POP.
You must be using POP on one of your machines. Go fix that right now. POP is ancient. Nobody uses POP. There are all kinds of problems with POP. go and reset up your exchange on your local machine to use IMAP instead of POP. And then everything will work smoothly again because you won't have this problem. Because what was happening, of course, was if she downloaded mail on her exchange client on her computer with POP, it was no longer on the server, and therefore her iPhone couldn't see it.
But let me give you the biggest wrinkle about this, because you failed to mention one thing. Because the other big difference between IMAP and POP is that IMAP usually allows you to keep multiple folders online. Your sent items, folders, anything, basically. It's just like, you know, any odd sort of organization you want, it will keep them online. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of your new modern mail clients will will cache a copy on your desktop case you're working disconnected. Now, here's the issue that I recall this from my days when I was using, I had switched for a while to a BlackBerry, and the thing is that the way that the enterprise server was kind of weird, because if you use the BlackBerry enterprise server, the moment a message got deleted off your server, if you copy, and I used to have like my mails go offline, it wouldn't be there, you wouldn't see it. So I decided, well, you could connect to mail through POP, and if I got the POP, POP would go and it would arrive and it would send a copy to both places. Boom, I would get the message, no problem. Okay, but they were unsynced. That was, and I was like, you know what? I can live with that. Okay. At that point, I was like, okay with that. But here's the bigger problem. Okay. Because you're not syncing folders.
Right.
If you send emails,
mm-hmm.
they're only on the device you sent them now.
Right. Of course.
Sure. Like 7, 8, 10 years ago, most people only sent their email from one device.
So wait, let me guess. When you migrated her computer, you didn't have them move the local mail folders?
No. That's not the problem.
What?
The problem is that she sent thousands and thousands of emails from her iPhone.
Right.
Well, if we migrated her to IMAP on the server end,
mm-hmm.
there is no way to get those messages off the phone.
Oh, wait. Did she set the phone up with POP, too?
Yes, her phone was set up with POP.
Oh, my God. So I can see the Exchange client where you set it up a decade ago, and okay, that's what you got. But there was no reason to set up the iPhone ever.
Comcast, she had email through Comcast, and Comcast
offers did not IMAP. Support.
Well, let me tell you something. They didn't used to. We just found out that they only started support a couple of years ago, number one. And she spent about 4 hours on customer support to get them to migrate her damn account from POP to IMAP because they said they had no idea what IMAP was. Okay? They had no clue.
I'm not sure I believe that because at various points in the past, I've had
Comcast. I was on the phone over here listening to this.
Okay.
Let me
distinguish. I completely believe that customer support would have no freaking idea. What I don't believe, because I swear I had Comcast set up with IMAP, you know,
when
I lived in New Jersey, and that was a decade ago.
Okay, well, here's the thing, okay? I don't recall how long ago they've had the support. I will tell you that they had a migration page for it, okay?
Let me tell you, they had it before the iPhone came out.
Okay, well, regardless of the fact, the reality is that
Now it may well be that you had to choose to switch it.
This was set up, iPhone, there was no iPhone, it didn't exist, this was not real a consideration.
Okay.
So from a mobile device, it was not a consideration.
There is a way to do this. Did you figure it out?
To get the emails off the damn phone, to send messages?
Yes.
I haven't figured out one, no.
Okay, all you do is you move those messages on the phone. To an IMAP folder.
That's correct. That is totally correct. But guess what? You can't do it in mass. You got to do it one by one.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to sit there and move 4,000 or 5,000 messages.
Do, do, do. This is Sam from the future with a quick correction. It actually is possible in iOS on both iPhone and iPad to select a large number of messages at one time to move them to another folder. One thing it is not possible, however, is to select a whole folder full of messages at the same time. You do have to actually click every message you want to move, but you don't have to pick a message, move a message, pick a message, move a message, pick a message, move a message. You can go click, 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 pick a bunch of messages, and then move them. Back to the show.
Nah, 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 nah.
It sounds like a good way to spend a weekend.
Yes. Hello.
What we found.
Did Daddy do it?
Did I do what?
Do that.
Yes, I. Oh. You've already
what
purchased
I could, what
it.
What I can like tell it? You is that there is no simple way of getting
Daddy,
it.
Daddy, did you do it wrong?
It says it's already loading it. Here you go. It's loading it. Okay, now let
but
me evaluate.
Well, it's brown. It's
look, it's loading. Get here.
If it's brown, it's whoa.
Now, I will tell you the other comedic thing that happened.
Yes.
Okay,
so
by
wait,
the way.
So now she hasn't actually lost anything. It's just
no,
in a painfully bad
well,
place to
here's
access.
The problem is that we can't enable the IMAP email on her phone because if we do, we got to delete the pop account. And if we do that, we'll blow up all the messages.
You should be able to set up a new account instead of saying just instead of picking
the same. It uses the same user ID and password.
Uh huh.
And we've already went up the chain at Apple Tech Support because we couldn't figure out how to do it, and they said, "No, what you can't.
You can't set up two accounts with the same information. One pop
with the same information. No, you can't. Not on the iPhone. No.
Okay.
So we went all the way up the chain. No, there's no way. And
so you have to finish clearing out the email first and then do the switch.
Yes. I mean, again, here's the other thing that she managed to do, though, which this is hilarious. Okay, all right. She has a 3 terabyte hard drive. Okay, all right.
Yes.
Somehow she managed to use up all the space.
That's easy enough. I've got several of those filled up.
Okay, if you started with 700 gigs of data, okay, all right, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, so she managed to fill that up in 3 weeks.
Right.
With okay.
With multiple copies of multiple copies of multiple copies of multiple copies of stuff, and I'm like, okay, and I'm like trying to explain, okay, you know what? You don't need a backup of the backup, especially if they're sitting on the same device. That doesn't really help, if I'm honest. You know. So anyway, so it's been. Let's just say that the I'm right now in a good mood about this. My mood. Especially this afternoon when I went to the cleaners and I go and I ask them, where's my clothes? And they tell me, what clothes? The clothes I brought you. I don't know what you're talking about. You didn't bring any clothes. Yes, I did. We don't have any of them. What are you talking about? Which, after spending hours, trying to tell somebody to follow directions that doesn't follow directions very well, I really, at the end of the day, was in a really, 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 really bad mood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like fun, and, I don't know. I think so far your master plan of getting her a Mac so that she would never call you again and could just go to an Apple store doesn't seem to be working.
Miserably. Horribly. Yes. I mean, miserably. Yeah.
Well, better you than me. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and we'll be back.
Thanks.
And we'll talk about some of the other stuff. Back after this. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right. An opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And, hey, I'll keep you in mind. And maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne, if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. Okay, we're back, Yvonne. What do you want to talk about? I listed a few things.
No.
Okay.
You're in command of the ship, so I don't know. We'll go with... I'll go with your
Okay, there, it's loading. You gotta go have mommy help you on this, because I'm busy. He's busy doing in-app purchases on his iPad.
Oh, Jesus.
Now we have a budget? Yes, that we have a certain amount that gets loaded automatically into his account once a month.
Oh, okay.
And he can't go beyond that without like having us like buy him a gift card or something to do more.
Okay.
So. Anyway, but he's buying like extra levels for his train simulator or something.
You know, I hate those in-app purchases. They're really irritating. Can I, you know,
we've talked about this before. Yes, they are incredibly irritating. Now, I must say there are different degrees of irritating. Okay, like I would prefer to pay up front for everything and never have to think about it again. However, there are a few apps where, you know, you get the core thing. Like you buy the thing for a couple bucks, and then it's got all the core features. It works, but there are a few extras that most people probably wouldn't use. That if you want to get that, you pay like an extra buck. Okay, whatever. Fine. I can deal with that. I can even deal with something like this, although it's annoying. Where like you've got a whole bunch of content that comes with it, but you can buy extra levels and stuff like that. That's still annoying, but not. It could be worse. And the worst ones are the ones that are free to buy, give you almost no functionality, and get you to a point where the game sucks unless you buy something, and then you have to go through the cycle, and you do, those can be really annoying.
Well, the one that really, actually, that one doesn't even irritate me as much as the fact that, okay, there are these games that basically, okay, they're not skill games anymore.
Right. It's like gambling.
No, it's not even gambling. It's like, okay, there used to be a game that I liked very much, which is called Real Racing.
Yeah,
okay?
You talked about this before.
And it was retarded. I mean, the old game was really based on you going to levels and skill, and maybe you would, but the new game is just purchase. And it's like, it wasn't a test of skill anymore. In order for you to really get to the next levels, you had to buy everything. And right. I'm just like, well, you know what? No. I just, you know, that doesn't work for me. No. Anyway. So, in-app purchases.
Yeah, you know, we're only a little bit away from the things that are just, there's nothing in there but an in-app purchase. It's like a button that says, give us another dollar.
Yeah, there
you go. And that's
the
whole damn game.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, there are a few, like, if you remember, one of the very, in the first few months of the Apple App Store existing, somebody put out an app, if you remember, that was just, it was like the Luxury Jewel app or something. I forget what it was actually called, but all it was like a picture of a ruby, but he set the price of the app at like, you know, $900.
Okay. Interesting pricing.
And, you know, and I remember there was the thing because, like, a few people bought it. Haha, this is funny. And then got pissed because their credit card actually got charged. Surprise.
Well, but it said that it was $900. Well, yeah. Well, they're idiots. Okay.
And of course, it did absolutely nothing but show a picture.
I'm going to guess that app got yanked.
I think it is no longer there.
Ah, that's a shame.
But speaking of this sort of things, because it's been a theme the last few weeks, we had the potato salad Kickstarter guy.
Well, now, the guy, from my understanding today, was only looking to raise a few bucks.
$10.
$10!
He put out a Kickstarter saying, with a goal of $10.
And he explicitly said, I had a goal of $10.
He said, I had a goal of $10. He's making potato salad. He hasn't decided which one yet. And he wanted $10 to fund the making of the potato salad.
Right.
And I refreshed it a few minutes ago, and we are up to $43,000 right now.
How much is it again?
$43,000 at the moment.
You can make quite a lot of salads.
You can make quite a lot of salads, yeah. And so, like, once he started getting, like, a whole bunch of attention, he started making stretch goals. If he made $35, he would make more potato salad. If he made $75, he'd do a pizza party. If he made $100, he'd try two different recipes, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Up to, at this point, he's saying he's renting a venue, holding a big party, and inviting anybody from the internet who wants to come to the party.
Well, there you go. That sounds cool.
You know, so, but yeah, and obviously the guy put this thing up as a joke. And there you go, $43,000 later. Now, some of this, the total has been going up and down a lot because you can, until it actually hits the funding mark, you can back it and then back out of backing it and say, oh, I didn't mean that after all. Because like a couple people apparently at one point or another put in 10 grand and then canceled their 10 grand. But at the moment, it's hovering at around $43,000. There's, you know, of those, let's see, only 93 of them pledged more than $50. The rest were smaller amounts.
Nice.
You know, so, you know, this is also the kind of thing that, you know, lightning doesn't strike twice on this kind of stuff. You know, if you went out today and said, I'm going to make a garden salad. No one would pay attention to you.
I'm just shocked by some of these. I mean, I know, you know, hey, we could, but I'm like, I don't know. I'd like to, you know, why don't we do a Kickstarter campaign for the show?
And by the way, it's Zach Danger Brown. Well, actually, media things like that aren't within the realm of things that Kickstarter does.
Why?
But there are other crowdfunding sources that do.
We should find a crowdfunding source and get money, and that way maybe we could get some real producers and stuff. So that way I'm not showing up without being prepared. I got somebody who's got a fucking subjects for us.
There you go.
I mean, heaven forbid they could edit the show and shit, and all we got to do is show up.
Well, you know, feel free to set one up. I'll watch from here. But
oh, come on, you're just gonna let. All right,
because look, I do all the work of actually putting the show together.
Okay,
every week.
Okay,
if you want to do this,
all right,
stuff,
all right. No. You're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, you know what? Damn it. Fine. I gotta find.
Oh, that's
oh
nice.
Shit!
What did you break?
Something. Fuck. How the hell? A coaster.
Okay.
Yeah, a glass coaster.
So nothing like really important. Just
no,
like,
it was a nice glass coaster.
Oh, I'm sorry, Yvonne. It's sad.
Anyway, I need to take a break to pick up the glass so my son doesn't get.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Not too bad. He could buy another one.
Yeah, he could buy another one. Yeah.
You could buy another one if you want.
I think he took his headphones off, so he might not be able to hear us.
Oh, how did you? Ah! Why is he not answering?
He's cleaning up what he spilled.
And it was water that spilled.
He broke a coaster. Do you know what a coaster is?
A roller coaster?
No, not a roller coaster. It's something that you put glasses on so they won't get the table wet. See how the table's wet under this glass? If I'd put it on a coaster, then the table wouldn't have gotten wet. Yeah, can we put that back on my keyboard, please?
No! What does it supposed to do?
It makes the screen brighter.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Sam.
Hey!
How you doing, guys?
We're doing pretty good. Hey, Alex, you want to talk?
What if you talk about the keyboard?
Yeah, you pulled one of the keys off my keyboard. It was loose anyway, though.
You can tell her how. You can tell him how Kathy's been driving me crazy.
Oh my god. She calls like every 5 minutes.
Okay. You just. I gotta fix this, Alex.
And fix the pewter. And fix the pewter.
Yeah, yes, but you unplugged my microphone. You need to get down. You need to get down right now. Alex, get down.
No, you get down.
I'm not up. Back off. Back off.
Back off.
Where's Alex? Where's Alex?
On top of me.
I don't hear you.
Hold on. Alex, stop. Do you hear us now?
Yeah.
He unplugged the microphone.
But it works. So you're not Alex anymore, you're a cat? What is your name, kitty? Mama? Is he gone?
No, he's all on top of me.
All right. I promise that by the end of this year,
okay,
I am going to fucking put together a crowdfunding campaign for Curmudgeon's Court.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Alex,
you need to go with mommy now.
It's time for our activity.
Yeah, activity.
We're going to make brownies. Or...
You know, just because pot's legal now. Okay.
Not that kind of brownie.
Okay, here.
Four. I wouldn't share. No.
Okay, Alex, here you go.
You gotta come sit with me now because you were bugging daddy. That's the rule.
All right, you're bummed.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we're back. Yvonne's glass is cleaned up.
Yeah, sorry, Jace. I don't know, but just dropped the thing. Just really, anyway. But I did say that my goal right now and my promise was that I'll figure out how to set up a crowdfunding campaign.
And see, here's the thing. There are a whole bunch of different categories. Right. Like, Kickstarter is all sort of for... You have to actually, like... produce a thing, I believe, on Kickstarter, and it's for profit. Like, charities aren't allowed on Kickstarter, but there's like this Indiegogo is out there, and they allow charities and things. And there's one person I know on Facebook that I went to high school with, her dog needed like major surgery she couldn't afford, and she set up an Indiegogo to fund it and asked a bunch of her friends to chip in, and they got the dog surgery funded. I chipped in a few bucks. So that kind of thing. And then there's another one, and I forget the name, that specifically like creative stuff, like people doing plays and shows and art and things like that.
So we can find. I mean, yeah, because I mean, there's been movies funded, I've understood, by some, you know, crowdfunding campaigns and some other stuff. So I don't know. We'll figure something out.
You have to think of the rewards and all this crap too. But
it's different
on all of these. So you look into it. You figure it all out.
I'll try to figure something out.
You're a marketing director, right?
I know. Oh, and I'm the business guy. I mean, I heard this whole thing about the potato salad today on CNBC. That's all I know about it. So, all right. I'll figure something out.
Okay. Moving on to some real topics. We, what do you like best? Illegal pot in Washington or Greenwald or immigration or
what? Let's go with Greenwald. We haven't talked about my buddy Greenwald in a while, so.
So the latest thing.
Should I go now and like, tweet him, you know, say, hey, you know, how'd all that regulation go for you? Not now. It's just that this is petty.
Let it go.
Yeah. All right.
Let it go.
Let it go. Yeah.
So look, the latest story that he put out, and he had been teasing this for a few weeks as sort of his the grand finale. And he was saying he was going to name names that were being surveilled and things like
that. Yeah. I remember that.
And so what he actually ended up releasing at this point is a redacted version of a spreadsheet of which he only identified five names. Five. Now, the spreadsheet had thousands of addresses or whatever on it. So I guess these five were the ones he was able to identify, do something with. I don't know. But or thought should be mentioned, because they mentioned that in the spreadsheet, by the way, there were a lot of names that, well, let me get ahead of myself. There were five names that were specifically investigated that were in this. More generally speaking, even the article as you read it talked about how there was quite a bit of value in this intelligence. There were a number of cases that they could point to of people who were of investigations that came out of this, plots that were stopped, whatever. But, you know, he found these five folks who, at least, you know, according to what's said there, are, you know, upstanding Americans who happen to be Muslim activists as well, activists in the Muslim community. Or in one case, the guy actually identified himself as an atheist, but came from a Muslim background. And so I sort of came out of this going, you know, for, especially for sort of something that was touted as the grand finale, there wasn't a lot.
It's a big dud.
Yeah. I mean, look, first of all of the things that were being talked about were during the Bush administration. So that he's no new information on anything very recent. And we knew from a number of different sources, maybe not with this specificity, that, you know, the Muslim American, community was coming under, extraordinary levels of scrutiny and were being watched and monitored, and things were happening, and that had been in the news, and a number of places it publicly pulled back from that and said, okay, maybe we went a bit too far. And you know, I looked at this and you know, it looks like out of these programs, there were at least a few intelligence successes that made sense. And I think I'm conflating this with the Washington Post one that came out. There was also I'm pushing these together, but really there was also a Washington Post one that came out a little less than a week ago that was talking about how 90%+ of the communications that were being saved by one of these programs were quote unquote ordinary Americans, and not the specific targets. But in both of these articles, and I apologize for sort of smushing them together in my head, but in both of these articles, there seemed to be some level of intelligence value. Let's talk about these five individuals. I read through the five profiles they gave of these individuals and was like, you know, okay, maybe in the end these guys were completely and totally innocent, but given their backgrounds and given who they were involved in and given who they were talking to, it's not completely out of the realm of reason that the government might want to keep an eye on them.
Right.
You know, and I could see convincing a judge that it was worth watching. I mean, all of them had sort of connections of one sort or another to foreign governments or radical groups.
So here's the question. What was the point that he had of releasing this specific information?
His point was, look, here are five completely innocent Muslim Americans that appear to have been targeted solely because they were Muslim Americans. And also, there were some other details included, like there were some training docs that used derogatory terms for Muslims and things like that. But, I mean, for the most part, I was like, I don't see anything really new here. And the few things you've listed, okay, maybe these guys were completely innocent and but from what I can see, they were monitored for a while and then the monitoring stopped. And so maybe after they monitored them a little bit, they decided, these guys are innocent and left them alone.
Right.
And I mean, and some of these were fairly, they're pictures of some of these guys, like with George W. Bush and with Hillary Clinton. And, you know, they worked for the White House. They worked for the State Department, some of them, so these were prominent individuals that were being monitored. I understand. Okay, look, there's a prominent individual. They don't appear to be have done anything wrong. So why were we monitoring them? But then you read the detailed description and you're like, oh, well, that's why they were monitored. They were dealing with that foreign government, or they'd had contact with these folks or whatever. And you're like,
right,
I get it. And maybe I wouldn't fully agree with the, you know, every little detail of should we have gone after this person or that person, or should they have been targeted? But there appears to have been a real thought process behind it. It's not completely whack job. It's not, they're monitoring, some random person's grandma who has nothing to do with anything. I mean, look, I've stated before all the disagreements I have, and I know you have with the expansiveness of all of these policies, but this is a big, like, okay, it doesn't add a lot to what we already knew, and it's certainly not anything that's going to change anybody's mind who's already on one side or the other of this debate. Because, you know, if anybody is out there who already thinks that, hey, all of these programs are justified, we're doing what we need to do to protect ourselves, blah, 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 they look at this and say, okay, they investigated a few suspicious people. What's the big fucking deal?
Right.
And then they turned out to be innocent and we left them alone and we didn't do anything to them.
Right.
So where's the harm?
That's been my point about a whole bunch of this stuff. I mean, you know, there's the line between use and abuse, right? So they got authorized to do certain things, right? And so they used that power, okay? I didn't agree with the authorization the way that it was, neither did you, okay? But, you know, if they're using the power as given to within the rights, I think most Americans have agreed that they are willing to sacrifice certain protections in order to do that and protect America.
Yeah.
I don't see how any of this is going to persuade anybody to do anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I just don't see it. So,
the only thing that even, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I mean, the racially disparaging comment in the training documents, okay, duh, that's bad. And there are a number of things that were evidence that, there was a lot of, you know, they're Muslim, that's good enough to go after them in some cases. But I think we'd known that before, too. We knew that
right. There
were some excesses in that area, and we knew that they'd been reined back a little bit already because people said, that's not cool. You have to have something on them. You can't just be like, they're a prominent member of the Muslim community, therefore we'll go after them. But again, it's not new. I had a hard time reading this and getting myself really worked up.
I say one thing, and look, people could call it racial profiling, whatever, but here's the thing, right? Look, if we were, say, all black, right? 50%, 70% black. And we had a whole bunch of blonde terrorists that it was this entire blonde group that was going and like doing suicide bombs and bombing and threatening us. What would we do at the airport in screening? What would happen? The fucking blonde guys would get screened, wouldn't they? I mean, it's just a natural reaction. I don't see how. How do you deprogram that out of someone's brain? I'm sorry. I am a person that's very inclusive, very open, and I have friends from all over. I have friends from everywhere. But even, I'm sorry.
That black friend.
Oh, yeah, sure. I got that back for fuck, asshole. But my point is that, you know, look, even at that, if I'm going to be going and saying, well, I got to see and like check for security threats and I got to do some random spot checking and I got to sift through the data and like figure out who I'm going to screen first. Well, shit. I mean, I don't know. I mean, is it me or is it just that the outlier is groups?
Look, there's some sense in that. But also one of the problems with that is if you profile, then the obvious counteroffensive by any group that means to do you harm is to go outside the profile. And it's fairly easy to do that, either by recruiting people who are outside the profile even just like, you know, change the haircut, change really the beard, changed? And boom, you don't look like it anymore.
But that hasn't really changed. I mean, I
agree with you that there, I'm not wholeheartedly all profiling is evil. However, the danger is it's used in an extremely simplified, stupid way.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I mean, I mean, let's face it. I mean, look, you gotta. I think that regardless of what you always profile. Okay, all right. You have the protocol. I mean, you know, they tell me, like, for example, that the Israelis, for example, when they go and they have, you know, they do stupid questions for security at American airports and like to board American Airlines, especially in international locations.
Oh, that reminds me. Don't let us get out of the show without talking about powering up phones and devices. But go ahead.
Powering up phones. Okay. So, you know, the thing is that I'm like, you know, they'll ask you the same question. Did you pack your luggage yourself? Was it with you? Blah, blah, blah. And that thing, I don't think screens shit out. Okay. If I'm honest.
Because everybody knows the right answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you're like, you know, actually, I left the room and my wife finished packing my suitcase.
Right. Are you going to say that? No. I mean, it's just stupid. But, you know, they tell me that LL, you know, what are the reasons they have, you know, for a long time haven't had that type of screening? They have far more intrusive questions that are meant to try to, like, discern who is and who isn't. And they actually, remember, they actually.
And also to get you nervous if you're. You got something right. to hide and blah blah blah.
Yeah. So they try to make that kind of questioning in order to try to like get to the right people. And I don't have a problem if you believe that you're going through your manifest, you look through the information, you have certain people that fit certain profile and characteristics, and not necessarily just looks. Okay. All right. Okay. You know. But it's fit. I mean, you go and like you. Okay. You reduce your data set down to certain people that fit the type of profile of the person that you're looking for, and then you question and interrogate those people. I don't see how. I mean, shit. I mean, it's how we do business. I mean, if I'm trying to sell something, for God's sakes, I'm going out and I'm fitting the profile. Great. I'm going through my customer list and I'm saying who would be a target for this product. I mean, do this for everything. I mean, we can't profile. Well, shit, if you don't do that, then what the hell do you do? And profiling is not being, you know, I guess to me, it's the differential between me and my thinking, analytical thinking, is the difference between me profiling and just being racist. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just like, that guy looks Arab. Fuck that. You're going over there. No. It's not the same thing. So, I don't know. Anyway,
I think this is highly disappointing as a grand finale. I think there's not much here that, okay, there are a few new details. I think the Washington Post story from a week ago or almost a week ago was actually a little bit more interesting. But even there, it was sort of full of, you know, the Washington Post story was had all of the things that are like, oh, okay, here are all the good things that we found through this sweep. And yeah, we have all of this incidental information, which, by the way, was minimized. Names were redacted. Things like that were going on. And but we did keep it in our database for a while. Okay. I mean, there's a lot to be outraged over what we found out over the last year in terms of government overreach here. But at this point, I think we're stretching it. I think Greenwald had hinted that he was saving the best for last and the most controversial stuff at the end. And I think we've seen, unless there's even more to come, that that's not the case at all. And in fact, the most interesting revelations were in the first few weeks.
Yep, agreed.
And at this point, it's like, okay. And as we've said before, at this point, everyone in the country who pays any attention to anything whatsoever has made up their mind.
Yep.
And nothing is happening or changing that's working to change anybody's mind on anything. You know, there's a group of people who say safety is worth it. All of this is worth it. We should be doing this. The government is right to keep things secret. They should move forward in this. And there's a group of people who are saying, no, no, no. We need to have more up in more out in the open. The secrecy is bad, blah, 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 blah. And never the twain shall meet. And the only thing that's going to change anybody's mind, I've said this before, are one of two things. If we have another major attack on us, then a bunch of people who said we've gone too far will change their minds and say, okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe we needed to go that far and maybe even further.
Or a major scandal involving massive abuse of information.
Exactly. That's the other direction.
Right.
Okay, you said you'd be quiet. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the only things that's going to really change people's minds. Is something on that level
Daddy,
of extreme...
This way.
Uh-huh.
You put it on upside down.
Oh, I put it on upside down? Okay. I'm fixing a truck. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, aside from something of that magnitude, we're done here. I mean, there's not going to be much further movement in public opinion, and the level of public opinion right now we have is not enough to institute major changes.
Right.
I mean, the other thing is, of course, there are long-term generational changes, too. I mean, yeah, things will be different 20 or 30 years down the line. But in the short term, we're done.
I agree. I don't think anything's going to happen. So anyway.
So speaking of spying, before we move on to any other topics.
More spying, yes.
Germany. There's apparently a little dust-up happening with us doing something with Germany. And I
heard a little bit about that. I heard it was like that they arrested some guy that was over there because he was like trying to find out information about the investigations on spying. Did I get that a little bit right?
All I know, and this is why we're not going to talk about it extensively because I haven't followed it in detail, is that the Germans arrested somebody as an American spy. Bottom line.
Yep.
And there's a big diplomatic dust up, and it goes back to what we've talked about before in terms of, you know, if you're spying on your enemies, everybody expects that. If you're spying on your friends and you get caught, people get really pissed off.
Right.
And given the climate that we've already been in over the last few months, you know, the whole thing of tapping Merkel's cell phone and this, and Obama saying, we're sorry, we won't tap your cell phone anymore. You know, and by the way, they never promise not to tap anybody else's cell phone or to not spy in general. And in fact, there was negotiations going on with Germany about whether or not there could be a no spy agreement between the two countries, similar to the agreement we apparently have with the UK and Australia. And no such deal happened. So I guess there's no reason to be surprised, but at the same time, this is kind of dumb, you know, given that we'd already had a diplomatic dust up about spying on the Germans just a few months ago. You'd think we would have pulled back a little bit and at least for a few months. I don't know. Maybe there was something really critical that we thought we needed to get. I mean, you know, the Washington Post article on some of the stuff found in the other thing mentioned one of the things was double dealing by an ostensible ally. Another was a nuclear program somewhere, a previously undisclosed nuclear program somewhere else. So, you know, there's things going on in the world. So maybe we thought there was something going on in Germany that we really needed to know about, and it was, you know, worth the risk.
Or maybe it's just the Germans just fucking being pissed off at us.
Yeah. Just try to prove a point. Or, you know, or it's frankly just institutional inertia. But you'd think after the dust up a few months ago, Obama would have said, hey guys, hey everybody in the intelligence community, here's an idea. 12 months. Let's back off the Germans for a little bit.
Right.
And then, right. Then we can go back. But let's take it easy for just a little while, because we pissed them off, and let's let that sort of die down. And but no, apparently not. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be back with something else. Back after this. Okay, here we are. Okay, immigration or pot? Or Israel? Or powering up things on planes?
Power up things on planes.
Okay, so you were mentioning, you know, the El Al and all the tests they do, but apparently the latest is there's some kind of undisclosed threat, and in response to the threat, the TSA has instructed first flights coming to the United States from outside of the country, but I've heard recently this might be expanding to domestic flights too at some point soon, that they are going to ask people to power up their devices, not just send them through the x-ray or whatever, but power them up and show that they work, because there's apparently a concern that somebody is going to, you know, fill an iPad with plastic explosives or something, and that's going to be the mechanism that they get the bombs into the planes. What do you think?
I think that's just retarded. I mean, first of all, I mean, they do all this, you know, what they're going through screening.
Oh, and by the way, so the reason everybody's worried about this is, of course, you know, if you forget to charge your device before you get to the airport, apparently they're telling you that you can't take it on the plane with you and you have to leave it at the airport.
Hmm. That's interesting. You could plug it in.
You could, if you've got all the stuff and you're got plenty of time and you're not running for your flight or whatever. Yeah, maybe.
You know, I guess. I mean, you know. I thought, but that doesn't make. I thought that they had that stuff. Well, no, I thought.
Apparently, they're worried.
They have this thing over there where they could run a swab over it.
They are apparently explosive. Worried about something new that's not detectable by the existing techniques.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, that's so interesting. And so they think that if you can turn on your device and it works, then you haven't stuffed explosives in it, I guess.
Well, you know, I don't know the threat itself, so I can't. I mean, I you know, just seems kind of off the wall to me. But you know, hey, I mean, you know, we've had people do off the wall stuff, I guess.
I mean, we all take off our shoes because of that damn shoe bomber.
Yeah,
we still. But I do notice that we had an underwear bomber, but we don't all have to take off our underwear.
Well, no, we got to go through this stupid, like, millimeter wave scanner.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know. And the last time that I traveled, for whatever the hell reason, coming and going, even though I have pre-check, so I'm supposedly not have to go most of the time through this, they made me go through this shit coming and going. Because now, I even go through the airport. I don't, you know, if I get the, you know, when I get into the pre-check line, I don't even have to take off my jacket. No shoes, no belt. Don't have to take out the laptop, nothing. It's like back, I feel, it's like I'm back in the year 2000. Just put my bag through the thing, walk through the detector, that's it. I go, and that's it. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
Metal detector. Not even anything like that.
Impressive. But, I don't know. It seems, I mean, and you're right. We don't know the threat.
We don't know what the information they really have, how credible it is. So, I mean, you know.
But of course, the thing is also advertising it, saying, okay, we're going to check for this now. Sort of.
Maybe, I mean, that I would think that's part of the psychology that you want to do to a certain extent. I mean, if there is a real threat, for example,
then if that stops them from trying, then
yeah, you want them to know, hey, you know what? We're not that stupid. We know that you're trying. You know, I would think that's you know, that's something.
Okay, moving on. Immigration. So over the last few weeks, we've had this buildup of concern, I guess, in different directions about specifically unaccompanied minors being caught at the border and being in essentially detention areas waiting to be deported, apparently in some cases under some pretty miserable conditions. So the questions come up of, okay, what to do about these kids? And
well, let's face it, when we've had surges of immigrants that are above average, and yep. I was reading the numbers and this is above average, this kind of stuff happens. I mean, I don't know if you remember, like, back when they had the Mariel boat exile from Cuba. I mean, and they were arriving by the truckloads, I mean, by the boatloads over to Miami. I mean, they were putting them in some pretty shanty places down under I-95 overpasses and other places. And basically, until they could get them processed, they could figure out who was who, if they were really entitled to be in, and get them into the country. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, and the other aspect of this is, of course, it's one thing... When you're talking about the adult who knowingly breaks into the country, whatever.
Right.
When it's a 6-year-old.
Right.
Or a 12-year-old.
Right.
Who doesn't really know what's going on, doesn't know what all the things around them. It's been mentioned in a number of articles about this, that a majority of these folks aren't necessarily, there's always an economic component, but there's also a very significant component of fleeing violence in these cases, where they're coming from extremely violent places, where they were potentially in danger. And so what do? You take the 7-year-old and say, well, screw you, here you go, here's a...
Well, I'm going to question that a little bit, because let's face it, not all of Central America is under that kind of violence.
No, not at all. But they were saying these specific people in these specific situations, many of them were coming from that kind of situation.
But still, anyway, all right, fine. Okay, granted, I'll tell you that. Okay, no problem. But there's just something like off about this whole thing. Because, look, I get that a lot of people want to come to the U.S. because there is a lot more opportunity. But if the only reason you're fleeing violence, I'm sorry, you could go to Mexico. I mean, except the violence you're talking about, the drug cartels on the border. I mean, let's face it, most of Mexico is pretty tranquil and calm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going through frickin' Mexico to make it all the way to the U.S.
Why not stop?
Exactly.
Right, or if it's just your town that's bad, why don't I just go to the next town over?
Right. You
know?
I mean, so there's more of an element to that. And I'm pro immigration, so it's not that I'm saying against it. But I mean, this entire argument
you have Latin American friends.
You think? Anyway. So I guess that's just the whole my whole thing about it is just I see that, you know, I don't think that that's just the whole thing, because if the reason was that they're just fleeing violence, I mean, there's a lot of places they could have fled to that isn't going all the way to the U.S. border.
So what do you think we should do with, like, specifically? I mean, there's the whole wider immigration problem, and we can talk about that a bit. But what do you think specifically about this problem? The you know, underage.
It's tough. I mean, I think some of these
are teenagers, obviously, but some of them are actually kids, young kids.
You know, I think that there must be some smugglers trying to convince a lot of people by telling them some story about whether their about kids get in, how there's going to be amnesty or something and whatever, and really pushing them to all go to the border at the same time.
And that's what a lot of people have said, is actually that the talk about the Dream Act and all of these sorts of things,
right.
We're taking kids who came here involuntarily and saying, hey, it's not their fault they came, why don't we let them stay, give them an easier path, saying that this is specifically encouraging people to send their kids.
Right. And I think that there's a whole bunch of people that are maybe actively marketing that. I mean, you know, I really do. So, I mean, I think it's a shame to a certain extent. I mean, because these poor kids are coming over. I mean, I don't care whether it's a Dream Act or whatever, but, you know, sending your kid by yourself to the U.S., I mean, that's not really... I mean, how's a kid, you know, no parents, no family, no nothing? I mean, you know...
I'd have to think you'd have to be in a situation that you thought was pretty, pretty bad for your kid to take that kind of risk.
I guess. I would still think that me.
So again, what do you do? Do you process asylum applications for all of these kids? Do you try to find their families and send them back? Do you just not try to find their families and send them back anyway?
I think the thing is, one of the reasons why they wind up in detention is because people have to get their cases evaluated.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't go and just freaking grab somebody and just
which by the way, can sometimes take many years.
And yeah,
if you're talking about like somebody who starts out as a 5-year-old.
Right.
You know,
and here's the other problem.
They could be a teenager by the time you see their case.
Listen, if we're going to release, you know, if they are kids, okay, great. One of the problems is, yeah, we wind up housing them because what the hell are you going to do? You're just going to release them on the street? Right. A lot of people that have immigration cases waiting to be adjudicated wind up being released.
Right.
Until the date of adjudication, okay? But what are you going to do with, like, underage kids? Where are they going to go? You just send them out to go by themselves? I think that's part of the problem, too.
Yeah, but then if you are going to keep them, you need to have some sort of standard for what you've got.
And no, I totally agree, but...
And apparently, it was in some of these cases, it was pretty, pretty awful.
Now, no, I get that, but you know,
the argument, if it is an adult, you could make the argument that they committed a crime. You're essentially putting them in jail. They don't have to have that good conditions, although even there, you should be humane. But if you're talking like a little kid,
but like I said, a lot of those teenagers get released until the case is adjudicated.
Right.
So, I mean, the problem is that these are kids. So what do you do? I mean, we're not equipped to be handling that many kids at once.
Right.
We just aren't.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
So we haven't talked about this in a long time. How about the wider immigration issue? You have the whole argument on the one side of, like, secure the border, and you've got the other one, let's make sure there's a path for citizenship, even for people who came in illegally in the first place.
Look, the people that keep talking about securing the border are just talking out of their ass. I mean, Obama has been, you know, somebody would call the deportation president. I mean, there hasn't been a president that has deported more people across the border than under the Obama administration. So if you're going to tell me that nothing has been done to secure the border, I mean, it's a bunch of bullshit. So that argument doesn't hold water. I mean, I don't see the only reason why people are not doing any immigration reform is because it's a good political football. It really... It's something that is a great wedge issue.
pushes a lot of people in a lot of the core constituencies one way or another, and nobody wants to do anything just because they're just playing football with it, and that's it. And like a lot of issues, the deficit and all the others, nobody wants to take it on seriously and put a solution up front. I'm like, they haven't wanted to solve anything, for God's sakes. Why the fuck would they solve this?
Well,
I would say that this goes way down on the priority list.
And because actually, like, you know, and I know this is an opinion thing, but from my point of view, the solution to the immigration problem is to make it a whole lot easier to immigrate.
Agreed.
You know, let a lot more people in. Make it a lot easier to get in, because there's a demand. There's people out there, and you know, for the most part, you know, okay, maybe there'll be a few losers who come in, but for the most part, you know, our society over its entire history has thrived on the input coming from immigrants and the additional economic stimulus that comes from that.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, okay, you can make the argument, okay, well, unemployment's high right now, we don't need more people, blah blah blah, but you know, there's a mismatch between the jobs that are available and the people that are available anyway.
That's right.
So you know,
I know, and we're looking for a specific
type of skills,
and I hear a whole bunch of other people making a different argument, but it's exactly my point. I mean, there's just no consistent, you know, policy. I mean, you know, when we have certain areas that are missing skill sets, I mean, why can't we just, allow for immigration for those people? I don't know. It's just, like I said, there's just no rhyme or reason. And nobody wants to do anything about it, so.
The value of this issue is as a political football, but I don't know, like, the Republicans try to use this as sort of their issue to rally their base, but the problem is it rallies their base and not everybody else.
Right. But that's the only thing they keep being interested in, so I don't know. I guess it makes for a whole bunch of, you know, somebody was talking about recently, I was reading about failed Republican candidates and how they become massive, like, popular people in the talk circuits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I was become like a cottage industry to do that. Fail, you know, be, you know, bombastic, a big failed Republican candidate, and then just be the toast of the talk circuit.
Well, I mean, and a lot of people talked about that back in the 2012 cycle. I mean, Gingrich, you know, as an example, that he's only running as a way to promote his book. Right. And to get himself visible again, because now he's on crossfire.
And it worked!
You know, and...
can you argue that it didn't work? It freaking worked!
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so... Pfft. I don't know. I mean, that's what I see about all of this. I don't know. Nobody gives a shit about solving anything anymore.
Okay. Let's take another break and then back real quick with just a few thoughts on a couple issues, and then we'll wrap this sucker up. We're running on steam. Back after this.
That means you're running out of portal.
Running out of portal? Yeah.
Sam is being corrected by his own son, yes.
Yeah, portal is in steam. Yes, yes. And rockets. Yeah. Okay.
Rockets.
This is a break. Oh, yes, this is a break. This is a break because no one gave me any suggestions. I told you. I warned you. So this is a break. This is a wonderful break. A wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
So I just have a couple of things on the list to check off here, but not really a lot to say about them. Pot's legal where I am now.
Woohoo!
There are stores you can go to get the stuff. And apparently the regulated legal pot is more expensive than street pot at the moment. But you know, it's got, you know, regulated labels. There are all sorts of controls on it. You know where it's coming from, where it's going. It's tested for to make sure the what's inside is actually what matches the label. Blah blah blah. There are a lot of things there. There are apparently also right now the number of stores that are open is very very few right now, and the supply is very very limited. But that'll be expanding over time. So we'll see how this works out. We're the second state after Colorado to do this. And this is not just medical marijuana. This is recreational marijuana, you know, so you can just walk in and say, give me some and walk out.
Well, let's face it. It's like the same thing, like with legal downloads and illegal downloads, right? Yep. If I can go to a place and I could just go and like, you know, walk up and just buy some stuff, pay my money, and I don't think that some guy's going to come to me with a gun because I bought pot. I mean, I would think that most people would feel a lot more comfortable with that, pay a little extra premium.
It's worth paying, you know, $20 instead of $10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think.
I agree, and I think the price will probably be driven down further as the whole process gets more up to scale.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's an overall good thing. I mean, we've talked before the ridiculousness of, you know, the comparative harm of marijuana versus alcohol. Alcohol is much more harmful. And so it just makes no sense. It makes no sense that marijuana is a Schedule I drug. I mean, if you look at what the Schedule IIs are, they're much more harmful, you know, And of course, at a federal level, this could just be rescheduled and you could be done. But the political will isn't there on a national level. It's starting to be there in a few states. And what you're going to see happen is, you know, this is what federalism is for. You're going to have a few states try this out. We'll see how it goes. You know, and if it goes well,
I think it's going to go like the same the gay
as gay marriage. I agree.
Oh yeah.
I think this is going to accelerate over the next few years, and it's going to be state by state by state for the next few years. And eventually, and I think this is going to be gay marriage too, there'll be a national decision that just makes it a de facto case nationwide, and then we'll be done with this thing. Right. Now, there are some arguments that by legalizing marijuana but not some other drugs, you're just going to drive the black market up into some of the harder drugs. Okay, whatever. One battle at a time. I don't see a downside. When you take things out of the shadows and make them, you know, open to public scrutiny, destigmatize, you know, do this, do that, you know, you get better results. I mean, you know, like smoking is another example. You know, it's perfectly legal. It's been out there. But, you know, it's bad for you and people have learned it's bad for you. And smoking is down. It has gone down, 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 down the entire right. time you and I have been adults.
Yes, it has.
You know, in terms of the prevalence of it amongst people and amongst young people, especially. Meanwhile, this whole drug war, which a lot of it has been about marijuana for whatever reason, has caused immense amounts of damage.
Yep.
You know, huge
numbers. Hasn't helped anybody. Quite a lot of deaths. Quite a lot of
deaths because of driving these things underground. Tons and tons of people, especially in minority and poor communities, in jail and otherwise having their lives further destroyed by being put to jail for relatively minor nonviolent crimes, selling and distributing pot. And of course now, you know, it's legal, you know, a bunch of people are going to get rich off it, but not those same people, you know, the people who were getting rich off it before, you know, went to jail. Now they'll, you know, pay their taxes and go on. Now they're likely still going to be some other difficulties in terms of, you know, given that it's still illegal federally, there's still issues with the banks and supporting these businesses and having to do a lot of things in cash and all kinds of other crap. But the federal government over the last 6 to 9 months has made a number of statements basically saying they're not going to spend a lot of resources going after marijuana cases in the states where it's legal.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, the right answer there. I mean, that's the right compromise. The real right answer is reschedule it so that, you know, at the very least put it on the same class as prescription medications nationwide. But if you're not going to make it equal to, say, alcohol. I think this is a positive step. And from everything I've heard from Colorado, who did this 6 months ago or something like this, it's all going well. They're making tons of tax revenue off it. And various other metrics have gone in the right direction in terms of, I don't know, in terms of various things. So it's been going well in Colorado. I expect it'll go well here in Washington State.
Well, I hope so, too, because this thing needs to be over. The stupid freaking war on drugs needs to be done.
Okay. Anyway. Only other thing that was on the list was Israel. Anything to say? They've been throwing bombs and missiles at each other.
Haven't they been doing that for like 30 years?
Or longer. But there's been a...
longer, 50.
Longer still.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, I
just saw a tweet go past 400 tons of Israel dropped 400 tons of explosives on Gaza since Monday night.
Nice.
Because of course, you know, the Palestinian territory started lobbing some missiles into Israel. Israel, of course, responds disproportionately with much higher tech, bigger explosive things. The ones going from Gaza to Israel are fairly indiscriminate because they don't have the technology to aim very well. So but the Israelis apparently have killed a number of civilians too. So
I don't know. They've been doing this all the time. I don't know. I read about it the other day and all I did is just shook my head and I'm just like, Jesus.
There they go again.
I mean, I don't know. It's really depressing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I agree.
And when I read Israel's PM says military operation will be expanding, and you know, and I know that Hamas is like launching indiscriminate missiles into Israel as well. But I mean, I don't know. It's just so frustrating. I don't know what the hell can.
Yeah, on all of these, and frankly, we can expand it to, you know, okay, we got the Israel-Palestinian situation. We got the situation in Syria. We've got the situation in Iraq now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, probably a dozen other hotspots around the world. And you think, can't they just all realize that it would be in everybody's interest to just stop?
Yeah.
And treat each other with respect and be done with it.
Just figure out a way to negotiate out. But I
realize this, you know, generations of hard feelings and people who hate each other and they've, you know, and it's hard to forgive when, you know, they've killed your brother or your uncle or somebody that you know personally. But, you know, at some point you have to break the cycle.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't look like it's happening soon.
Nope. Sad as usual.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I think we're done, unless you have any last-minute thoughts to add on anything.
No, we're done. We're out.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening to yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com or contact us on Twitter. I'm at abelsmay. Yvonne is at imbo. And we like hearing from you, and we like it when you tell your friends and blah, 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 blah.
You know, I keep getting more Twitter followers slowly. I'm
up to like 20 or something, right?
22.
I'm 22 now.
22?
I'm impressed, and I recently went over 200.
Yay! There you go.
Although, I must say, if I look at my list of Twitter followers, it is quite obvious that most of them aren't actually people who are paying attention in any way to me.
They're all bots.
Well, not only bots, but apparently it's a thing to, like, you know, just indiscriminately follow all kinds of people in the hopes that they will follow you back to get attention. You know, so...
No, I have, for the most part, I'm looking at them, there are actually specific people, you know, that are following me, you know? the 22. So I'm you know, it's good.
Yeah, good, good. Like, at this very second, I've got 217, and the first one is somebody who's been... I don't know who the hell they are. I've never clicked on them to do the to do everything, but they've got 15,000 followers, and they're following 11,000 people, and they apparently follow, unfollow, because I've seen them follow me like 8 times now.
Now, here's one thing. I did just recently get followed by somebody that I think may have been following you. I think I mean, Jason Speckland.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he follows me.
Yeah, so all of a sudden I just found him following me.
Yeah, there you go. So he's a real person, someone we knew in college.
Yes.
Anyway, we're done here.
Bye. Done. Out.
And one day, Yvonne, you'll get up to 30 followers.
Yay! And then 40, and then 50, and so forth, and so on.
Anyway. My wife says she'll follow you.
Yay! Yay!
And yay! It's not Yvonne who's licking me, it's Alex.
Yay!
Okay. Okay, Alex, say goodbye. We're done here.
Bye. Say
goodbye. Ow, ow, ow. Okay. Bye, everyone. We're out.
Bye. Ow, ow.